Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Good morning, everyone. Morning. It is great to see you. For those who don't know me, my name is, that's my daughter, who's actually clapping the worship team, not her father, which is great. Thanks, Frankie. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm the Director of Missions, Global Missions here at Riverside Church. And it really is great to see you all this morning. So who's inspired? Who's inspired? It's been great, hasn't it, to hear the testimonies that have happened of the thing that, of what, and we're all also going to be hearing about what's going to be happening in the future as well. But it's also great to see people who've come in national dress today. So we'd ask those who, anyone from around the world who's visiting to or staying with us or moved over here to actually come in a national dress. So you think, well, Chris, where's yours? Well, I'm from the Northeast. So. So, you know, you've got to really pull this off, haven't you? And I honestly can't, can I? But but it's great. Last year, for my birthday, my daughter very kindly bought me an experience day. And the experience day was to go and visit a vineyard. Now, I've never done that before, never really thought about that before. And but it was something completely off the wall, completely different. And I thought, okay. That's lovely. Thank you very much. So anyway, we went on this trip just a few weeks ago, and it was amazing. We were taken around the vineyard. We were taken around this 12 acres in West Devon, and there were rows and rows and rows of vines, and, you know, I couldn't believe how much work was involved in actually taking a patch of ground and bringing it into a working vineyard. Quite something. We visited the winery as well afterwards. We got to taste some of the wine. But you know what? There were red grapes, there were white grapes. And we were there just before harvest, about 4 days before harvest, when they were going to start pick the grapes. And to see all the grapes densely packed on the vine was absolutely incredible. I want to turn to Scripture. John 15. And I want to read from verse 1. So if you've got your Bibles, please turn there and follow through. And it's also, I think, it is on there. Brilliant. Thank you, Mason. And Jesus said this, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. And then further on in verse 16, it says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. The Royal Horticultural Society, and believe me, that's more difficult to spell than it is to say, says this, grapevines are vigorous climbers that need regular winter pruning and management throughout the growing season to produce a good harvest and keep them within bounds. To produce a good harvest and keep them within bounds. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You see, if left to their own devices, a grapevine, when it grows, it'll grow and it'll grow vigorously. It'll grow and it'll take over. You'll get this proliferation of branches running here, there and everywhere, getting thicker and woody and all that sort of thing. You'll see loads and loads of leaves everywhere, and you'll see maybe a few bunches of grapes. Not very many, really. Not very many. For a vine to produce a good harvest, it needs to be trained. It needs to be pruned. See, when a vine is planted, the main stem is cut off. It's curtailed, I don't know, a meter above the ground, maybe slightly less depending on the variety of the grape. And from there, It's trained. It's trained along wires, it's trained into a cordon, but it's trained, and it is pruned repeatedly, pruned quite harshly, pruned back, so that what grows eventually is fruitful and strong. And you know what? It takes from time of planting up to harvest, the first successful harvest is about 4 years of repeated pruning, repeated training. When the branches are growing, the vine dresser, the gardener, bends them down to fit and train along the wire, and almost to the point of breaking, but actually bring them into alignment with a true direction. Done properly, maintaining good husbandry and allowing clear airflow, because leaves give shade, so you have to remove the leaves, some of the leaves, and the vine branches are capable of producing an excellent harvest for up to about 50 years. That's quite something, isn't it? 50 years of harvest. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now, I would propose to you today that Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about when he compared the church of Jesus Christ to the branches on the vine. See, the vine is vigorous growing. It grows and grows and grows. It's trained, it's pruned, it grows. It's trained, it's pruned, it grows. It produces fruit. The kingdom of God is advancing. It is growing. It is taking ground. It is advancing. It is producing fruit. The vine is in need of regular pruning, effective pruning, to ensure that growth is on track and harvests are full. The church is pruned to ensure that growth is on track. Harvests are good and fruitful. The vine is in need of training to ensure that it follows the right path and doesn't veer off course. The church is in need of training to ensure that it is on the right track. It is progressing true and straight in accordance with the word of the Lord. The vine's branches are connected to the vine. If they are severed, if they come off, they die. The church is connected to and fully reliant upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God, or it can't survive either. So what does this have to do with international mission? You might be asking, and probably quite rightly so. See, my steadfast belief is that wherever we are in the world, whatever we're doing in the world, whether we're in Cornwall, whether we're here in Exeter, whether we're in Africa, the Philippines, wherever we are in the world, South Africa, Australia, wherever we are, we're not just individual vines across the world. We are all one vine. We are all connected together. We are all branches of the vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all family. You see, I've known Raphael Mashamba. I've met him for about a week. That's all I've met him for, is about a week, when we're in Rwanda. I don't call him an associate. I don't call him a business partner. I don't refer to him as a friend, although I class him as one. He is my brother. He is my family. And when my family needs my help, how can I not respond? When my family celebrates a joy, how can I not celebrate as well? When my family needs assistance, how can I not help, turn around and help? When my family wants to reach the lost, why shouldn't I get involved? You see, and also on International Sunday, it's tempting to focus on the missionaries that we relate to from this church out. But what about the people who've come in? What about the people who've joined us, come forward? Levi came from Brazil. Mateus has come from Brazil. Marlena from Austria. You know, and more before. And there'll be more to come. People who felt called to here to make a difference for the gospel. We are all branches of the one vine. And as the Father tends the vine, the harvest increases, the harvest grows, the grapes are full, the grapes are ripe. And it's all good, isn't it? It's all great. What can possibly go wrong? Well, what happens when the frost comes? You know what happens in the garden, in your garden? Anyone here a gardener? Anyone here a gardener? Stick your hands up. Not many. Okay, right. When a frost comes, when it's budding time, then the growth is stilted and stunted. When the frost comes, when vines are at a very tender stage, when they're growing, when they're budding, 75-80% of the crop could be lost. So what do they do? What do vineyard owners do? Well, when they detect a frost coming, they have these weather stations and things. So they have these high-tech weather stations, but a really low-tech solution, which I kind of love, actually. And what they put is that every second row of vine, they put candles. They light candles. They're actually called bougies. It's a French system, and it's basically a canister. It's a can filled with wax or oil and with a cardboard wick. And when it's going to be frosty or cold, they put these bougies out in lines every second row of the vine. And it only raises the temperature by perhaps 1 or 2, maybe 3 degrees. That's all. But what it does, it acts like a chimney, creates a chimney effect. The hot air rises, the cold air is kept circulating. And therefore, the frost can't grab on to the vine. It can't, the stagnant air can't latch on and cause the failure of the crop. When my friends, when my brothers, when my sisters around the world call for help, I want to light a candle. I want to light a candle in faith. A prayer flare, whatever you call it, whatever you will, I want to declare God's favor over what they're doing. Whether it's in prayer, whether it's in financial, an urgent financial need, whether it's a call to actually go and help in a work. I want to be ready to answer the call, ready to light that candle. Why? He is the vine. We are the branches connected together. Aaron shared this morning a really powerful picture, and it was about Canadian redwoods. And these Canadian redwoods, they're the biggest tree on earth. And what they do is that they grow together and they're strong. And their roots not only go down, but they spread outwards, sideways. And by doing that, they interlock, they intertwine with the roots of the trees next door. So that when the wind comes and blows one tree, it grabs on. It grabs onto the tree next door and it stops it falling. I thought, wow, what a picture that is of the church interconnected, arm in arm, across the world, the vine growing, thriving, producing harvest, increasing the harvest, increasing the vine. So challenge to us today, bringing things to a close, serving God in mission, whether in prayer, whether in financial support, whether in direct ministry, it can be challenging. I accept that. But through it all, we are trained along the wire. We're trained in the right way to go. We're pruned when we're starting to go off track. We're refined. So the harvest will be full, ripe, and dare I say, an excellent vintage? Maybe? Let us partner together across the world to produce fruit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the kingdom of God advance, to see souls saved, to see lives restored, to see people brought into the kingdom of God, snatched out of the jaws of hell, brought from darkness into his most marvelous light. Amen.